Welcome back to WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're at State Fair. We're in Catonsville doing our thing here. We're now over 100 episodes. Want to wish everybody happy holidays. This is a special one because I saw Sonia Sanalisis on TV about 7 months ago. I said, Don, we got to get all those people. And then we have Police Commissioner Harrison, who was also on about 7 months ago. Don Mueller, of course, here. We're about to get into Baltimore. And I, you know, your journey from Peabody to come down. Tell me about taking a job in Baltimore, because I'm from Baltimore. Everywhere I go, it's an Oriole hat, Raven hat. And it used to be when I got off a plane and I'd say, I'm from Baltimore, I'd say, oh, Cal Ripken, Brooks Robinson, Crab Cakes, Camden Yards. What? Now they say Murder, Freddie Gray, The Wire. Yeah. Like, that's our brand. That can't be our brand. We're here to change that. What was the brand of Baltimore when someone said, we're going to pay you handsomely to come down and fix the Baltimore educational system? That's a hell of a courage step up to want to take this gig, because there's a lot of people that don't want any part of Baltimore. I'm not one of them. That's why we're here. A lot of people holding their nose at Baltimore right now. Yeah. You were one that said, give me the spear, let's go charge the hill, right?
Literally. Yeah, well, but when we first came, my family and I, my husband and my girls, about 10 years ago now.
Okay.
And it was at first to be chief academic officer when Andres Alonzo was CEO. So I came then.
Where were you?
I was in Boston.
You were in Boston. Okay.
I was in Boston.
So you were home.
I was home.
You left
I really
home
was.
To come here.
Yes, and wonderful babysitting grandparents as well. So
where's your husband from?
My husband grew up in Rhode Island.
Okay,
and
so
from New York.
This is not home. This was a real family decision.
It was a real family because, if he hadn't said yes, I wouldn't be here.
So take me through that part of it.
So when we came, I think, one, clearly, you know, you're going to a new place and it's different. When we came 10 years ago, it was kind of before Freddie Gray had blown up. So I had actually, in full disclosure, not spent a lot of time in Baltimore City. And, you know, we had like 2 hours to find a place to live and we were running around. And I think two things when we moved here jumped out at us immediately. One, everybody identifies by their high school, which was surreal.
We talk about it all the time. It's not where you went to college.
No, anything.
I went to Poly.
Other people, I see, where are you from? They're almost a little like...
Yeah. I went to Poly. I went to City, right? I went to Dunbar.
That's right.
I went to Dunbar.
Right.
Did you? Yes.
Well, and you know, my husband went to City College within CUNY. So when he moved here, I mean, when we moved here and he was telling, people say, well, where would you go to school? He thought incorrectly college. He said, so I went to City College. People are like, good for you.
Good for you.
And he came home and he said, Sonia, there are all these people who went to CUNY.
And they wanted to talk about George Young and George Petrides.
And Elijah and Dutch and Kurt Schmoke.
That's right.
And Al Hathaway.
Al Hathaway.
That's right.
They all went to City. Yeah.
Exactly. And I said, baby, that's really not what they're talking about.
That's another one.
It's another one. So that was one. But the other piece that I love, and you would think I would have been used to this being in Boston, but it is not even close to as distinct as Baltimore when it comes to the identity of neighborhoods. And the neighborhood identification is just amazing to me. And it's palpable. People know two blocks over when you've moved from one neighborhood to the other.
But there's a built-in pride to that.
And there is. And it's wonderful, right? So there are so many parts of that. That, like I said, I mean, Boston also has neighborhoods, but not like Baltimore. Not with
Boston,
kind of
you're like either a Southie or you're not.
There you
right?
go. Like there you go. Yeah. Yeah. You know, or are you JP? Are you Mattapan? But it's not nearly the kind of legacy, the depth, the poignancy, really. Like, it's strong in Baltimore. And it actually, you know, sometimes it can be problematic when,
I spent 50 years here. I had no idea they ate crabs differently on the west side of town. it took me Baltimore Positive to learn this.
It took 2.1 million.
Everybody in the east side of town is like, we've discovered the wheel or fire or something. It's crazy.
Well, you know, Dr. St. Felice is giving a shout out to that. We have to give you a chance. Before I ask the question that's always burning on my mind, but I know you want to give Poly a shout out. I see they've just won some big award, been identified
goodness.
By U.S. News and World Report.
Yes, they are. And I
tell us about
we
that.
We are thrilled. Newsweek named Baltimore Polytechnic in national rankings of just STEM high schools, number 36 in the nation, number one in Maryland, and there is no other school, public or private, in the state of Maryland that ranks ranked in like the top 50, other than Polly. And so the next
why is
closest,
that?
You know why?
What about it?
A great question.
Draws attention.
I think what draws attention is so clearly what we were just talking about, the legacy. They have an incredibly strong alumni network, but I would say the fact that they draw young people from across the city, and they are focused on science, technology, mathematics in a way that really has developed over the course of time. I think they have aligned, making sure, and they still have work to do, because they all do, right? Because I never let everybody think that they're perfect. But I will say they got their first ranking a number of years ago, and they were like in the hundreds, and they set a target. And if you talk to the principal, she'll say, and I think she said in one of the interviews, when we got that first ranking, we set out to be the number one STEM high school in the nation. And so they have organized around that. They know it's not just one group of kids. I think they're working to make sure it's the entire school. And you know this.
Absolutely.
In some high schools, you just focus on one top group of kids. And those are the ones that are the STEM kids.
Dr. St. Lisa, it's the hardest thing. I talk about it and have talked about it for years related to the Baltimore County Public Schools. There are many, many Baltimore County Public Schools who could truly skate on by, because the majority of the kids in that school will always do great. They come ready. That's right. They can all read by the time they're 4 years old. And kids who are a little below will never drag your composite score down far enough that if you don't have a committed leader to say, we're going to drill down, and we're going to believe that all does mean all.
Yes.
And that's a challenge, is it
well,
not?
It's hard focusing on the bottom 20, right, when the top
it's
20.
It's a challenge.
Right?
Right. I mean, and in fairness, Poly does, they have entrance criteria, right? So they are starting with some of the highest performers. But even in that group, and you know this, right? There's still diversity in that group. And so I think as they have shifted, and they have more shifting to do, but as they have shifted to saying, right, it's the entire school, right? It's all right. Kids. It's how do we make sure, like, that if you made it into Poly, we already know that you can read, you can do math well, and so what are we doing to help you succeed? And if you talk to one of my favorite recent grads from Poly, Mauricio, because he went to my, he's now at my alma mater, you know, he...
He's at Brown?
He's at
there
Brown.
There you go.
So I was very proud
that's
of that.
That's Ivy League.
Oh, stop.
That's the only folks we have on, it seems like.
You guys need a better crowd to hang with, and you need
I wasn't
going
to go to Providence until Brown invited me.
You're so bad. But, like, Mauricio tells a story. Like, he's an immigrant kid, right?
Sure.
Like, he came to this country for the first time when he was really a teenager. And the fact that, you know, we talk about what's good about Baltimore, yes, we have challenges. But the fact that this young man, if you heard his speech during a college-bound banquet, and he talked about the teachers along the way who believed in him, the friends that came around him and said, yeah, we know you're not from here. We know you're not from Baltimore, but we come around you. I mean, all of Mauricio's story about how we got to Brown was all of the people in Baltimore and his family who helped, literally, a young person who spoke no English when he came here at the age of, I think, 13. And within 5 or 6 years, because of the environment at Poly, because he had ROTC, and you know, he fell in love with ROTC, you know, when he talks about all of those pieces, he was able to do incredibly well. And so we're proud. I'm proud of the fact that Poly beat everybody, and I tell everybody, public and private, right, in the entire state. And it's because, and they're doing it with young people who have backgrounds like Mauricio, right? They're doing it for large numbers of kids, not just a select group. Great.
Now, that leads me... And again, congratulations. It's I know what you're going to say. You're going to say it's the principal, it's the staff, it's community. It's also the leadership at the top. So congratulations on Poly. You should shout that from the rooftop. Here's the question that I get asked all the time. People
sure.
would say, yeah, Don, okay, Poly, City, Western. We get it. They're select. You were very honest a moment or two ago. You said, look, you got to compete to get
into their requirement academies.
You got
to
get in there. So and I won't mention by name other schools, but there are other, because I think it's very often unfair to single them out. But there are other high schools that right now you would have no trouble. You're thinking that aren't where I want them to be.
Absolutely.
As the CEO. What is People don't believe you can take that other high school and make it a Poly. They don't believe it at their core. So what do you say? Say, by golly, we are going to make every school a place that you'd feel good about sending your daughters.
That's right. That's right. So part of the work that we are doing now is how do we, one, create a variety of experiences for young people to be successful. So I will name a school, and a school that has been challenged. Like, I'm not afraid to do that, right? So if you look at Douglas High School, right, we had a stabbing there. People
across from
Douglas,
Mondawmin Mall, for people who don't know.
Across from Mondawmin Mall, okay. Right? So that school has had a lot of challenges. Well, one of the things that we are doing at Douglas, and what Douglas and those incidents allowed us to do, was to ask some of the questions we were talking about earlier. Like, what do the support mental health resources look like for young people there, right? Like, is it, do we have enough of those there? The other
is that called wraparound? Is that,
look at you.
Well, I mean, I would make
about his tongue.
That's impressive.
Because when I hear wraparound is just a word. It's like
tell Battaglia he was a good teacher.
No, Battaglia like intangibles. But when I hear wraparound, around that could be anything to me from a six-year-old girl going home without parents because they're at work and they have nowhere to go. I mean, you know, all of us who had great parents and stuff, we sit here, we're fortunate, we get to do, but I can't imagine being in that circumstance, especially with my original parents, what that would have looked like to go home to drunk parents who didn't, you know, I had an immigrant father, didn't speak English as a first language.
Yep.
I would have been a mess, and I'm not, thankfully, but somebody stepped in. If that someone is the government, what does that look like in 2019?
Or what are we, and to nail it down, so what are you doing at Douglas?
If you had an unlimited amount of money to go over there and make Douglas perfect, what would, if you had unlimited resources, what would that even look like?
So one of the things we did was we looked deeply at the leadership, right? Because as you all know, right, leadership matters. So we took a very courageous principal who had already turned around and had a school that was doing fairly well. You know, if you look at Mergenthaler, compared to a lot of schools.
Well, Brandon Scott thinks it's perfect. But
exactly. Well, you know, see, you're good. I would never say that. I understand.
Talking about
right? That. And he, you know, went over and said, I want to be part of the success story that we know can be Douglas. So he already went in with the right mindset. He's recruiting and has recruited other administrators to go with him. They're building a full staff team that really is committed, again, to making Douglas, right, a high-quality opportunity. The other piece that we heard from Douglas parents that he heard, and he actually told me, he said, a lot of families are like, we want more robust career programming for our kids, right? Like, we want them to be able to get access early, right, to some, to other possibilities in construction,
vocation.
In tech. A lot of vocational, right? But a lot of the vocational now requires that you have the same performance levels, right, as kids who are going to two-year college, right? Like, you can't just walk in. So what we're doing
is... Well, you can't do construction without math.
Exactly.
Literally.
Exactly. And particularly like IT. If you want to do anything in tech, like tech programming, like you can come right out of high school with the right certification and get a job in the tech field, right? Or qualify for further. So one of the things we're doing there, and we're really deliberate, is we're building out that programming, right? And we didn't do that before. We left it to one segment, one high school here or there. We said, oh, they're all, you know, a lot of those programs are at Carver or Mervo. But in Douglas, we're making a real deliberate attempt to say, how do we bring the programs that young people are calling for that we know also align to them being able to graduate with the skills that they need, right? It's not enjoyment every day. Like I tell my girls, it's not enjoyment every day, but what helps you get through the push days are being able to do something that you love. And you all know this, right? Even as adults, there are days where, you know, I have to do stuff I don't particularly care for.
It's not supposed to be fun.
It's
called work. It's not called recreation.
Thank you.
I don't get to sit around and talk about education with the school.
It's called work. Really good example. I mentioned I went back to your TED Talk.
Yeah.
And there were two things I was struck by in that TED Talk. You were interviewing middle school students in Bedford-Stuyvesant. And you asked them to talk about where they saw themselves in the future.
Yep.
And this kind of response always gives me chills because I've had it many times from young people in my career. a number of those kids wanted you to be specific. And when you got out to 10 or 15 years, it was hard for them because they didn't think they'd be here.
Yep.
Talk about that in urban education. I mean, I ran it back this morning to watch you say that twice, and my hair is standing up now.
Mm. Yeah.
I've had kids say that to me.
Yes.
What do you mean? Mr. Mower, come on, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
Talk about that and the need to address that in urban schools.
Yeah, and that's the hardest one. I mean, I have to be honest. When you have, in that case, middle school students not thinking they're going to be alive and articulating it very matter-of-factly, like not with a whole lot of emotion, but just almost as if it could be a foregone conclusion, it rocks you. It rocked me the same way it rocked you. And I think
that means they think they're going to be killed.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, they think they're going to die.
They're going to die.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to be alive.
Remember the scene, I refer to it all the time, very little-known film, a Lawrence Kasdan film called Grand Canyon. And Danny Glover is very upset that his nephew is starting to fiddle with gangs. And he's on the front porch. And Danny Glover reading him the Riot Act. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? You got to think about when you're 25. And it was right out of your interview. And the kid looks at me and goes, Unc, 25? I ain't going to see 25.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So what does that mean for you as the CEO of the Baltimore City Public Schools?
So I can't do it alone, right? It's why you guys have Commissioner Harrison and other elected leaders on. But it goes back to where we started. For a lot of our young people, they unfortunately do not see any hope. We haven't given them anything to say that there is possibility beyond your present circumstances. And so part of the exposure, part of allowing them to think about what their gifts, their talents are, also equipping them with how do you resolve conflict outside of violence, right? How do you give them other options?
Rules on the street are different than the school,
they are,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's one of the things that I respect about a lot of our administrators and teachers is they get that the world outside, where a lot of young people are coming from, plays by a different set of rules. And I think our charge is to provide them with another option while they are in school. What heats me is when I hear from young people, you know, I'm not sure whether I'm safe at school, right? That then signals to me that's on my watch.
Yes, indeed.
Right? That's my watch. That's nobody else's. And so I have oversight over what the school day looks like. And so when young people or staff say, I'm not sure I feel safe, I mean, look, we looked at a survey from some of our teachers yesterday, and we had to have hard conversations about among central staff, right? People have to feel safe, but part of that safety is also giving young people a reason to live. And so if I know that I love to write poetry, right? And I know that I can impact people. One of our former Teachers of the Year, LaQuisha Hall, publishes a lot of her young people's writing, and she invites leaders from across the city to come and kind of hear young people give author talks, right? And, you know, they sell their book for $5 or whatever it is. And what is so interesting is you would think something so simple that looks on those 9th, 10th, 11th graders' faces when they realize that people have come to hear what they have written, it changes how they view themselves, right? I'm not just a cog in a wheel. And this city, in some areas, can make you feel like all you are is fodder, right? You know, all you are is a log on the fire.
It feels chaotic at times,
right? It feels chaotic, right? We have first graders who come in after a weekend, and it's just like, wait, you want me to sit on a carpet? You want me to do what? And literally, there are teachers who will tell me that they have to reorient mm-hmm. to now you're back in a classroom.
Oh, I remember this when my son was with the grandparents.
Oh, see?
Comes
there
back.
There you go.
Simple as that.
Well,
right. Literally,
I remember right? very yes. clearly, yeah. Dr. St. Elise's, this was at Catonsville High. Catonsville had students who came from the children's home, which were state-appointed children who were there who had difficulty in their home situation. A young man was in a fight. And I can remember talking to him, and I liked him. I forget what his name was. Doesn't matter, Twan, whatever it was. And I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're better than... And he gave me a lesson I've never forgotten. And he said, Mr. Moe, he said, I appreciate it. And I appreciate what you're asking me to do. Mm. But you got to understand, if I behave the way you want me to behave at Catonsville High School, when I get home on the street this weekend,
yeah, yeah.
I'm a dead man.
Yeah.
it doesn't work for me on the street. I've got to mix it up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not able to differentiate.
Well, and what's interesting when you say that, one of the things that we have found most powerful is a lot of our wholeness specialists. These are folks we hire in some of our schools, about 40 of them, to be part of like wholeness rooms, places for kids to come de-escalate, right, get their head together. What is so powerful is to watch wholeness specialists who come from the community, right, come from the same neighborhoods in a lot of cases that the kids are coming from, who have some of these challenges, and the way that they coach them to navigate, Don, that boundary, what I call boundary crossing.
Right.
Are these psychologists?
No, that's what's so wonderful.
No,
a lot of these are just like, I'm thinking of one of our wholeness specialists at Achievement Academy, where I'm sure everybody knows in the news there was a young man shot like right outside the school. And this young man just grew up in these circumstances, was able to navigate, made good decisions, got some college, and all we did, he already had a relationship with the young people, had worked with some community organizations in a mentoring capacity. He applied for this job. We gave training, because we give training on de-escalation and other pieces for them to know. And I spoke to his principal, who said, oh, I couldn't do this without him. And that power of having people from the community who have navigated, who the kids know have navigated. Because, you know, they look at me and they know I grew up in New England and I did, you know. And
you're the lady in the suit.
You're the lady in the suit.
That's what you are to an 8-year-old child.
Exactly. Like, they don't know. But, like, literally, you have people who can go and say, look, man, I was where you were. I know that these two worlds are different. But let me show you how I did it. Let me show you a different way to go. Right, and it has a different level of credibility. And what that is reinforcing to me is that it's not about one person. It's not about formal roles. It's about what we call leading from your seat, right? It's not about whether you have three letters next to your name, CEO, CAO. It's not whether you're the principal or the secretary. It's whatever seat you sit in this place called school, in this place called Baltimore City Schools, are you looking to be a solution maker? Are you looking to build relationships? And some of the most effective people are these wholeness specialists, because they have a base of knowledge in there that comes from living where a lot of our young people have lived and navigated, that they can say things that I can't say, that even a principal can't say. They're down, you know, they're down with young people where they are.
Street mentoring?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is. But you know, but these people then get training that helps build their knowledge base.
Well, that's where Thread is, right?
A lot of part, no doubt.
Thread for Don, the gift for Don to be involved would be what he gets out of giving to a young person.
And Sarah's very, very big on that.
Remember David Brooks. Remember David Brooks. Great place to stop. Remember David Brooks in the New York Times said when you looked at programs like Thread, you couldn't tell who was the giver and who was the receiver.
Yes.
Right? A powerful line. You can't tell who's giving. You can't. I don't know about you. I'm getting smarter by the minute.
I think we've receiving here.
We've got one more. We've got one more segment with the outstanding Dr. Sonia Santelises.
We are at State Fair. We're Catonsville. We're going to get some lunch. We got one more segment ahead. We're going to get to Kerwin. I know we're going to get to that, right? We're going to get to teachers and longevity of teachers sticking around, because we talked about that before. We're back for more. It's Baltimore Positive at WNST.net, AM 1570. We never stop talking good stuff about